Hi, I'm Rob Pritchard and I'm the sports editor at Manx Radio. Following the departure of Paul Jones and with FC Alavan stuck in an early relegation scrap in September, the Manx club looked to someone with experience at the top level of English football to get them back in the fight. Rick Holden has held the post of caretaker manager at the Ravens for the majority of what's been a difficult season in the NWCFL Premier Division. Despite numerous challenges for all involved, under Holden, FC Alavan met its top priority of securing safety in the division with a few weeks to go. Now, at the time of this podcast being published, FC Alavan are all set for their final match of the campaign away at Padiham. And ahead of the trip, we sat down with Rick to get his thoughts on the last few weeks, the season as a whole, and what he thinks the club needs to progress in both the short and long term.
The last few weeks have been bitty and difficult to get a consistent side together. And the results, I mean, the lads have worked hard enough and they've played good enough football at times, but it's just, I think it's that, you know, bit too far type of feeling. And because we got safe a few weeks ago as well, it's just been a bit of a, I would call it a bit disappointing.
Just on that point though, I think it's something that's been brought up previously as well, is the fact with all the travelling and all the logistics as well, it can be tiring, not just physically but mentally as well. Is that something you and the squad have noticed, not just in the last few weeks but over the course of what is a long 46 game season?
Well, they are tired physically and mentally, you're bound to be, but they managed to get themselves revved up ready for the game, but it's impossible to measure. But I mean, everybody's ready to finish now, I'll give it that. And they sort of go under a bit quick rather than when we were fighting for survival, they would fight back a bit. It feel like a bit of same old, and, you know, we've just gone under a couple of times. It's been, again, a bit disappointing, but it's the sheer volume of time that grinds you down, so I'm just glad we got out of it, you know.
Just on that point about, I suppose, getting yourself fired up for these occasions, obviously for the past couple of weeks you're not troubled by what's going on at the bottom, but you're not challenging toward the top this season. And I know a few weeks ago you said to the club media, you know, you don't just want the season to peter out, but it is a long season. So how do you go about keeping that mentality and that physicality at that level?
Well, it's difficult. You just have to say to them, you know, what's the point of coming all this way if you're not going to put a shift in? And I mean, the last game they did really well against Barnoles. I mean, we're throwing, you end up with players and think, well, with these players, what system can I do? Not the other way around. What system do I want to play when all the players available? So lack of availability makes you have to get a system to fit. And they did really well. It's 0-0. Should have been out of sight with two or three chances. And then you think, half time, saying, right, come on, another 45 minutes. And you can see they want to do it. Go out there, played well again for the first few 10 minutes or so, but then a couple of mistakes, they score, and you can see we're just like, get us out of here type mentality happening, even though they were still ran and ran and ran. And you can say, well, you know, that performance wouldn't be the same if it was like third or fourth game in, or you were going for, you know, promotion or something. So it has petered out, unfortunately. We've got one more game left now, see if we can do something.
Just for to give people a bit of insight, I suppose, into your side of things, from a manager's standpoint as well, a lot of rotation of the squad this season. Like you said, availability, there's been the odd suspension and injury as well. So just how much chopping and changing do you have to do, and how disruptive can that be? You will have an idea in your mind of how you want your team to play, but if you're chopping and changing it so often, how difficult does that make it for you?
Well, it's extremely difficult, and this is the problem. I came in September and I looked at the division and we were perilous, you know, it's really bad on the cliff edge, saying how do we avoid relegation? Now the way to do it, which I know, is you've got to attack, you've got to score goals are currency, you've got to win football matches, so you've got to play a highly attacking style. You can't go defensive. Knowing that though, you know you're going to lose games, so you're going to win games, you're going to lose games. So we had to get an attacking formation. We had to get wingers in. Thankfully, Jacob Crook came back from injury. Steve Whitley's on the other side. I had to get a big centre forward in to help, like Sean Kelly. And we had to attack, had to reposition people, convince Pinney's a midfielder, scoring midfielder, get Higgy to play more up front, score goals. All this energy to win games. When we finally do, it coincides. Trying to achieve that, we had players on holiday and, you know, injuries, as you say, suspensions. We get over the line with saving relegation, which I'm extremely pleased about. But the availability becomes less and less, and we can see you've got less attacking formations. You end up trying to go to places and sneak a goal and that, and you're on the defensive mentally, and that's just the wrong approach. If we'd have had that approach from the start, we'd have got relegated. So that's your nutshell, that's it.
Yeah, and I suppose on top of that as well is the fact that, you know, in terms of the incentives behind it, like you said, you've got no question about the players' mentality or work rate in that regard. But for those who don't know as well, is the fact that, you know, unlike the majority of teams in the division, you're all volunteers. You don't get paid a penny for doing this as well. So there's not the extra financial incentive there that maybe other teams get as well.
Yeah, you're appealing to their cathartic wish to play football for, you know, FC Isle of Man, representing the Isle of Man. But they have also, they're in a privileged position because they're allowed to and it's paid for, but they don't get paid. So it's a balancing act. How do you balance saying, look, you're privileged to play for FC, but it's also consuming all your time? And I've had to do deals that, all right, you're going on holiday, fine, not lose it about it, and just pick who's available. Then I've had, when they come back, I have to pick the best players because I want to win games to avoid relegation. So those that have stepped in and haven't gone on holiday get a bit miffed, and they're saying, well, I've, you know, sacrificed my time. And you've got this double-edged sword. You can't win. You know, there's no way I can win no matter what I do. So I had to be selfish in terms of selecting what I thought was going to win a football match. And that was it. So I couldn't build anything. And, yeah, they're not being paid. So, you know, nobody's getting the fridge filled, you know, and they're actually losing money to play, as I was. And to get criticism is a bit harsh from anyone outside. But obviously, whoever thought of it as a concept in the first place, everybody must know that on the island, and everybody must know who did it, that this is how it's going to be. And it won't change unless somebody decides to part with a few million quid a season.
And from a personal side of things, for you as well, because obviously outside of all this, you're still running your own business day to day, a busy business. So, you know, how tiring and how demanding is it to run a full-time business along with not just, you know, playing football on the weekend, but trips in midweek as well?
Well, it is very tiring, and I'm amazed that I've done it because I must be fitter than I thought I was. But I've been helping Peel Football Club out as well with doing physio. Got my daughter involved to do the bag at times when I'm not there. Been helping with the island side. You know, we're very proud of what we did prior to that, and we've been coaching them recently. The island games coming up soon next year, and all this, it's football, 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 and more impressively, managed to hold a relationship down better than that. You know, where is he? No, it has been tiring. At the same time, though, I have really enjoyed working with the players when I've had chance, you know, and the getting the training sorted early doors down at Castletown at more sensible times, and the work we did there was really enjoyable.
Just two more questions. Looking ahead generally, of course, whatever happens over the summer with yourself and with the club, the million-dollar question really with all we've spoken about, what's it going to take to get FC Isle of Man to progress? And I'm not talking about there has to be a seismic change, but to get them on that path, in your opinion and with your experience, what needs to happen at the club to get more results on the pitch?
Well, there's a long-term and short-term answer to it. Long-term is you need your own home, you need your own training ground attached to that, because training's so important and it can't be just time constraint, you know, 1 hour at the bowl consumed by a warm-up, half of it, you know. You go back to my Peel days when I went there first in 96, because we owned everything, we could train at 6 till 10 and you could get everything done twice a week, you know, and you up the quality, you up the commitment, and you've got far more time. You're not cramming it inward all the time now. It's just time constraints all the time. And that's the long term. The short term, you just hope you get enough players to commit to a season to put... I mean, I only put the same side out twice consecutively when we beat Withenshaw and drew with Ramsbottom, the top two teams, which shows you everything. If I had the best island players to work with from the top clubs like Corinthians, Peel, Russian and all that, all the big clubs that commit, that take their players off them and put them into FC, plus the current FC, you'd have a far greater chance. But, you know, the chances of getting them together is so difficult. And I don't know how you crack that, to be honest, without incentives of And even if they are really motivated, something will crop up as well. You know, you've got these things that come out of nowhere, you know, like someone's ill or work commitments and that. So it's a very difficult nut to crack. But just on the short term, I came in and I said, look, I was asked to come in. And I said, well, we can avoid relegation. That's the job done. And that's how I feel now. I've avoided relegation. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of the lads and everybody involved in the club and everyone that stuck by us to achieve that. Hopefully, over the summer, people see that as a close call and pull together and really go for it more consistently next season. Make sure that after 13 games, we aren't in the mire and it'll be more comfortable a season.
Like you said, the number one priority, stay safe in the division. You managed to do that. The players have managed to do that. So on the final side of things, I know with some of the things we discussed there, it could sound like it's a bit doom and gloom sometimes as well. But just from your side of things, taking on the caretaker manager role, what are the things you've, I suppose, enjoyed most about the role? Yes, it's been challenging. You've made no bones about that. But what aspects of it have you enjoyed this season?
Well, you know, it's simple stuff. It's like when you see a really good goal that we've worked on, we talk about the need to get the ball wide and, you know, to keep it up there, to allow us to get up the pitch, to put good crosses in. And when you see a really good goal that's been worked on, that's just tremendous. It's like something, a work of art. And those are the highlights for me when things have come off and when we've won a really good game. And they've got to be celebrated, those, you know. Make no about it, the travel has been really difficult and I've not enjoyed that. Who would, you know? I mean, the last trip was horrific on the boat, you know, and that. But that's the downside to it. But purely just from, you know, being involved as caretaker manager, working with the lads, that's a highlight. And also getting them keen to, which is important, keen to play for the island as well, because I'm very up on that. We need the best players playing for Chris Bass Jr.'s Ireland side, and they've bought into that. So, you know, if I've left one thing, it's hopefully to show enjoyment in training, enjoy playing attacking football, and the crowd have responded warmly. They enjoy watching us play that style. And to me, that's job done, and that's rewarding. That's what I take away, it's rewarding.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.